Please turn in your Bibles to the reading from Matthew's Gospel for the morning, the second chapter of Matthew, verses 1 through 18. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For he observed his star at his rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. The word of the Lord. Now, if you're having some problem there, it's all right to sit close together this morning, and no one will think anything about it. It's wonderful to be with you, to watch those pictures of 2010, and to remember that of all the statistics there, the ministry that you all were involved in involves people, the faces of those children and youth and adults who were somehow committed together to the great mission and ministry of this congregation. It's just exciting to see that happen and to know how bright the future is for this people here. And I was thinking about the choir this morning as they were singing, and I wish they'd get a little rhythm in some of their music. But but Christmas happens in worship through the choir, the musicians, Don, Corey, all the singers, the instrumentalists, the pastor. And I don't know if you have had a chance to just thank them for what they have done for this congregation during the Christmas season. They work harder than anybody, and I'd like you to give a little hand to them. Well, a quick report on the growing white dynasty. The expected twin granddaughters were born October 22nd at Little Company of Mary, and they each weighed in over just a little over 6 pounds. And Kevin and Cindy were ecstatic at the first birth of children after 15 years of marriage. And now, 2 months later, they are very tired. The girls are named Molly, Frances, and Ada Marie. Frances is their paternal grandmother, Claudine's middle name. And Marie is the middle name of the baby's maternal great-grandmother, grandmother, and mother, as well as the middle name of my mother. And so on the beginning of a new year, this grandfather couldn't be happier or more thankful to God. For 16 years, my favorite time of the year was December 24th. In the dark moments before midnight in this packed sanctuary, singing quietly Silent Night, the ceiling lights dimmed, the chancel bathed in candlelight, with witnesses to Jesus' birth echoing in my heart from scripture and song, I felt as close to God as I ever have. On Christmas Eve, we read from the Gospel of Luke of Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem to pay their taxes, Jesus' birth in a manger, shepherds and angels. Today, we pick up Matthew, whose story of Jesus' birth is fraught with ambiguity, danger, and tragedy. Not a word of manger. It's a house. Not a word of the angels with shepherds. Today's scripture begins in the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born. The time of King Herod was code language, which brought to mind cruelty, deception, brutality, murder of children. Imposed upon the people by the Romans, Herod was a ruler of Galilee by fiat, only half a Jew for 33 years of his rule. It was a time of intrigue and violence. Herod drowned his uncle and his wife. He murdered his mother-in-law, his brother-in-law. Herod had 10 wives, 15 children. 10 of them were sons who spent considerable time plotting to usurp the throne from their father. 2 sons were tried and executed for treason. The slaughter of innocents was not out of character for this man. And so Matthew's witness to Jesus' birth is a counterpoint to Luke's stories, reminding us that life, while composed of happy and wonderful times, also brings suffering, loneliness, and pain. Matthew had only to say, "In the time of King Herod," and his hearers would be reminded of bitter days. Innocent, indiscriminate suffering did not begin nor end with Herod, of course. We're faced with it every day, whether it's experienced in a natural tragedy. Think earthquake in Haiti, which took more than 200,000 lives, or whether it comes from evil erupting from minds distorted by dark visions. Suicide bombers create many suffering innocents daily. The prophet Isaiah, more than 500 years before Matthew, acknowledged the same truth in his time when he spoke of darkness covering the earth, thick clouds covering the people. Into such a world, Jesus was born. In the time of King Herod, Jesus came to announce another kingdom, an alternate way of seeing and believing, a better way of living and trusting. Jesus opens our eyes to life freed from fear of darkness and dread. That prophet Isaiah sang of a light shining in the darkness. He proclaims, "Upon you the Lord shines. Over you appears his glory. You shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow." At those words peering through life's shadows, we struggle to catch our breath. Tears stream down our cheeks. We grow giddy with relief. Jesus, a starburst of glory in the dark night, our sign that God has not given up on the world, even a world where innocents die as a result of cruelty or indifference. There is evil in our world, yet there is light, and the light outshines the darkness. Look for the light. On October 30th, the Opera Company of Philadelphia, joined by many church choirs and other choral groups, offered a gift to the shoppers at Macy's on Market Street. This Macy's is a former Wanamaker's department store with the world's largest pipe organ and a central open court rising from the first floor, 7 stories high. Precisely at noon on that October day, around the central court, 650 vocalists were scattered to join in singing Handel's Hallelujah Chorus, accompanied by that massive organ. Imagine what it was like for those unsuspecting shoppers, desperate to find that perfect gift for the hard-to-please grandchild, worrying about spending too much, hassled by the rude crowds, when suddenly, without warning, voices of praise like angels from above break out with that powerful and stirring affirmation, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The puzzled and surprised shoppers look up and around, smiles breaking out on their faces, arms lifted up in praise, lips joining in the final hallelujahs. That's but a shadow of God's surprise, which shines on us with a message of joy and hope in the midst of lives struggling and searching. Like astrologers from the East in Matthew's story, we come this morning to look for and affirm that light, to learn better how to live in that light. Jesus today has gathered us to him and to each other to live in love, forgiveness, and justice, to stand up against the darkness. We cannot forget the darkness of the Nazi Holocaust, which stands as an unbelievable image of insane brutality, the systematic murder of innocents, more than 6 million Jews and others. But remember also during those dark days, followers of Jesus who risk themselves to live in the light. 2 Polish Christians, Alex and Mila Roslan, hid 3 Jewish children in their small home during those years. When one of their own sons, 10 years of age, contracted scarlet fever, he was taken to a Warsaw hospital where no Jewish children could go, and given a dosage of powder to treat his illness. When he got home, the powder was carefully divided so that the Jewish children who were being hidden could have some. The Roslins sold their home and moved several times so they could continue to protect those children. The boys, after they'd grown up, said that the Roslins made themselves as hiding places from the tempests, as rivers of water in dry places, as shadows of a great rock in a weary land. We know of a Dutch village in which every family, every non-Jewish family, concealed at least one Jew. In Le Chambon, France, 5,000 Jews were saved by the Vichy police, German soldiers, and Gestapo because of the resolution of one Lutheran pastor and the people of the village who said, we have a responsibility to live in the light in all of this darkness, and we will not let harm come to these people. Jesus' birth did not end senseless violence. Herod and the cross have their day. There is darkness still. And yet light shines in a new people, an alternative society, a counterculture in which we as Christians, God's people in Jesus, are called to be. Imperfect, yes, but nevertheless redeemed and motivated by love. Look for the light. Be the light. A few years ago, Joseph Kordick retired as vice president, chief executive of the parts and service department of Ford Motor Company. More than 7,000 employees worked under him. Kordick was only 57. The company estimated that by retiring when he did, he would lose $10 to $20 million in salary and benefits. In 1968, that was a lot of money. He retired, he said, because it's time to wash some feet. He moved from Michigan to Florida, where he took up work in a hospice care facility, ministering to people in the last weeks of their lives. At his farewell party, reporters from the Today Show came to discover his motive. Why would any sane person leave $10 to $20 million on the table? Mr. Kordick, a United Methodist, said it was an opportunity for him to talk about his relationship to Jesus Christ to those who wouldn't listen otherwise. I've been so blessed by God, he said. The reason for living can't be just to make more money. In a world consumed by getting more, this one man's decision to serve others brought a joyful beacon of light. Look for the light. Be the light. Live with the love. Amen.